Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we know that if the Virgin Mary, that little bride of Joseph, could receive the word of God, the promise fulfilled in her own body, her life, message delivered by an angel, how much more can we see the fulfillment of this message of the last day fulfilled in us, having been brought by you yourself, even Elohim, Jehovah Elohim, having come down to give us the very truth of this hour, the word which must come to pass and already is coming to pass, knowing that you have not only descended with the shout, but also you descended with your mighty angels to bring judgment to the world, but unto us who believe your word and say, be it unto us according to thy word. Come to be glorified in your saints. Now we know, Lord, that's so far from our minds, some 6,000 years of the fall, that it is terribly difficult for us to stand here this morning and committed unto you, knowing it is all of grace, and it is not a matter of man, his choosing, his desires, whatsoever, but it is your living word brought forth in a generation of seed over 6,000 years who will be standing here on earth, your own seed, Lord, fulfilling all the command promise that was given then. Lord, how is it that we are able to stand here and be not consumed by it, that our desire is so great we be beside ourselves looking for every opportunity to get out of here, and yet we know, Lord, that the opportunity there exists. It's here, and we're told to lift up our heads and rejoice when all these things come to pass, and these things cause us to rejoice that the redemption draweth near, those evil things that are in the earth. And how much more, Lord, should we be red hot with the good things which are here because of your presence, your revealed and fulfilling word. Help us to be that people this morning. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're spoken word number 26. Before we resume reading on page 60, it's necessary to understand that Brother Branham was not a prophet to whom the word of the Lord comes originally, as though in this day we are receiving a message or gospel different from the Apostle Paul's, so that it is changed in substance or added to or subtracted from. He is a prophet to whom the revelation of an already given message comes. Though his vindication is identical to that of Moses, Jesus, and Paul, you will notice that he constantly affirms he cannot add or subtract one iota from the already given and vindicated word. Therefore, the Bible is complete. His vindication, which is identical to that of those to whom the word comes, proves conclusively that he is authenticated as a prophet revealer. See, the same word that came to them by vindication, he is revealing what they meant. Who in this last hour substantiates the Bible as the word of the living God, even Jehovah Elohim? So he declares the hour in which we live and reveals the message pertinent to this hour, and by vindication brings forth that judging word, revealing the past, present, and future. We are saying these things to help you place his constant referring to himself in this hour as foreshadowed or typed by the ministries of both Moses and Paul, but also Elijah and Samuel. This is exactly as set forth in the book of Acts chapter 3. So we're going to go over it again, which we've done many, many times. And Peter is preaching, and he's talking about the fullness of time, which begins the end of the Gentile times, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, the very presence of God himself, and that's verse 19. In 20, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you. Now notice, the one whose presence bringing the refreshing is here, and he is going to do the sending. In other words, there cannot be an appearance of Jesus. No way, shape, and form, known as the second coming, coming down to earth cannot possibly happen before there is a refreshing. As Brother Branham vindicated, says a great healing revival from the Lord. Now, he was preached unto you. Now watch. Even at that time, the heavens must retain him until the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, no doubt, we could put that in a little better phraseology in order to get a little better chronology. But the chronology is there. It tells you absolutely the descent of Jehovah Elohim in the form of the Holy Spirit in the pillar of fire. That's Revelation 10, 1-7. Come on down. And that same one that comes down with that message, you better believe he is going to send the Lord Jesus Christ himself to meet the bride in the air. Now, the proof that this is God himself and his prophet is in that great and tremendous healing revival, of which Brother Branham said there cannot be a genuine healing revival unless God brings forth a new message. Now, not a new message as though changing the Bible, no way, shape, and form. But in other words, it is really what it tells you in here, that new message is a restoration of the Word of God. It tells you that. Then that one can come. So, all right, there is the appearing of the prophet. There is the coming of Jehovah Elohim himself. He is present with his prophet, a great healing revival, vindicating the message which is to come. What is that message? A restoration of the Word. In other words, the Word that went off target, and we know it did, in 2 Corinthians 11 chapter, it has to be brought back to the original and getting it on target. And that's going to be a big pull to get a bullet that went off course 2,000 years ago. So certainly if there was another Jesus, another Spirit, another gospel at that time, that message having been changed, what in the world do we have today but nothing? We have less than nothing. We have a debit for the very people who proclaim that they are teaching the word of the Lord Jesus Christ and leading in worship are liars, they are idolaters, and have condemned themselves and the people in the congregations. No wonder the earth is going to burn and everybody except a little handful. You don't get your eyes on a bunch of hogwash out there just because you think you're tender-hearted or something. You ain't tender-hearted, you're stupid and tender-headed. Remember, at the time of judgment, God distinctly said, don't let your eye pity or your heart turn to water. Remember, David allowed that. Saul allowed it. Rahab and Ahab took him into Babylon. And they both crucified and killed our Lord Jesus Christ with that spirit. Oh, it's all right. It's all right. We can tolerate it. What happened in this hour, brother, sister? God coming down, revealing the hearts of men in Hebrews 4 and 12, show you there is nothing hid, and judgment has hit the land. It's all over. The sentence has been passed. The word is on death row. Why do people hate that sound, death row? Oh, that's terrible, that hole in there, that murderer. Oh, yeah, that rapist that killed. Oh, you mustn't do it. Why, that's unconscionable to have a punishment that horrible. You think you're going to make God bat his eyes when this world dissolves with fire? Come on, tell him. Go ahead, you're nicer than God. Leave the old preacher's hate. Go ahead. Be my guest. See, I'm not so naive and so stupid that I can't preach the truth. Okay, brother, sister. I'm convinced of one thing. There's a bride out there somewhere, if we're not bride. And I don't want to stand in her way. So, well, Brother Dave, you're doing it by all your hard talk. Hey, why don't you burn the Bible? There's a hard and ungodly talk that is true in the world and in the sinful churches. I'm going to tell you that's the truth. But I'm going to tell you, God's forehead is tougher than theirs, and his word is tougher because he can bring his to pass. was proven right in our midst here by the prophet. You might not have seen him, but I was with him. I know what I'm talking about. Before Almighty God, I'm not lying to you. Now, the heavens, even in spite of everything we see, there cannot be a rapture, a second coming, until that word is restored, which God is at a restoration of all the things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now notice what he brings in here. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, that's a prophet whom the word comes, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him you shall hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. That's absolutely true. I tell you, from every prophet that time on to whom the word comes. Now, it shall come to pass that every soul will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Now, what I'm driving at here is to simply show you that Brother Branham can associate himself not only with Moses and with Elijah, rather, not only Moses, but with Elijah and with John the Baptist. You'll see that positively as we go along here and we are reading. Now, thus as we begin to read on page 60, which we will read paragraph 2 likely, we find Brother Branham specifically referring to John the Baptist and to Moses on page 61. And to Elijah in Malachi 4. He is talking about all of those, and he is referring to himself in his ministry and the opposition that his ministry, like Moses and Paul's and Elijah's, had to suffer. So we must be sure to realize that all this divinely inspired writing is already vindicated to the end that Elijah has come, according to Matthew 17:11 and Revelation 10:7 and James 5:7-9, and is fulfilled as to the prophetic demands. And all we wait for now is the voice of the resurrection and the summoning, which will bring on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ back to earth with his saints. We have been previously met him in the air at the wedding supper, according to Revelation chapter 19. All right, we're reading on page 60 again. And you will notice that he's talking about Elijah. And he says, God sent him into the wilderness in hiding. Not even the king could call him out. And they that tried to persuade him against the will of God died for so doing. But when God spoke to his faithful prophet by vision, out of the wilderness he came with, thus saith the Lord. What did he do? Straight to the word, back to the word he went. Brought the 12 stones and rolled them together. Now, a lot of people put a lot of emphasis on here that Brother Branham has to come back from the wilderness. I don't see him at any time talking about on the curtain of time as being the wilderness. The only wilderness I know about is he's going to try to trick his wife and take her up to way northern Canada, Klondike or somewhere, and God said, okay, you do that and here's your future. Which was a burning dump. Which clarifies the scripture that says, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched, was a city dump. And he said, your life is a city dump. And the Bible says that fire tries every man's works. And William Branham would have been qualified for the city dump because he would have not had any works. How could there be a man in the presence of God dare to even believe that? Why would you try to get away from the very thing you've been preaching all along and know it to be truth? Too hard, oh, too hard. Huh? I don't think he admired himself after that one. Why would he? He was rebuked by God on one occasion for running. He told me about it. It's not in the tape. I've told you about it. The great bear hunter. Track a bear down. You're a great hunter. He said, thank you. And he said, why do you run anytime somebody says boo comes against you? Prophets have their troubles. Moses had his. He ran too. Well, it's okay, though. The Bible said, if persecuting this city, run to the next.
just get a different flavor of persecution, same things there. I know that to be fact because a man that ran from a bear got killed by a lion. All right. Now, what did this man Elijah do? He put the people back to true worship. For in vain did they worship Elohim and call upon his name. It's just like your Muslims. They try to palm off to you that the word Allah means God, the same God of Israel, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's a lot of hogwash. The word Allah is a heathen God. How many Muslims are going to get born again? Eight people make the ark. Figure it out. I'm not critical of them in the sense that I want to see them go to hell or anything else. The thing is, come on. We're past the stage of just merely surmising and hoping and thinking maybe we can puzzle something out. Brother Branham said, if you don't put this word together, you've got a jigsaw puzzle with the cow eating grass on the top of the tree. So what's he told you and me? Jigsaw puzzle days are over. The cow's eating grass on the ground where she belongs. It's been put together, properly divided, properly understood. Now notice again, Brother Branham talking about himself. Like John the Baptist, Christ, faithful, faithful. Bill Branham, I'm faithful. The faithful Bill Branham. Oh, Brother Bill, you shouldn't change things. How come Sister Meaty opening the Bible, wondering if Brother Bill was going to propose and marry her? Show him right there to Malachi, and she told me, behold, I send unto you in bold black print, said Bill Branham the prophet. Well, those things are, you know, they're hallucinations. I'm glad you got hallucinations. I can figure what yours are. Oh, quite easily. I'm a man. I know what men are like. I've lived with a woman for a long time. I figure I know a little bit what women are like. So put the two together. I won't have to talk about it. Huh? Like John the Baptist, Christ, faithful forerunner. The anointed prophet, no school of his father, no school of Pharisees, no denomination, could call him from the wilderness where God had sent him until he heard the voice of God and Messiah's land. You think Bill Branham didn't have his wilderness? Without going up way north in Canada? Listen to his tapes. How many times was he screaming inside to God? But when he got his clear-cut directives, the same as he talks about this, there wasn't any problem. I just want you to show you Bill Branham, William Marion Branham, prophet of God, is talking about himself with the permission of Almighty God, showing the continuity of the prophets who bring the word and the prophets who reveal the word. And William Branham was a revealer. And he said, a prophet is not just a bringer of the word. He is a revealer. And if you didn't believe it before, what do you call that? If you don't believe that, I'll tell you what you do believe. You believe that you are not even here this morning. You're looking around and you're feeling your flesh and say, my God, that proves nothing because I might not even be here. What if nobody's here? What if there's no God? Huh? You say, come on, you're going to choke in your throat. Tell me what you do believe. Tell me what your reality is. A good cigar? You know, they got old Spurgeon disgusted one time because Dr. George Pentecost didn't believe in smoking. So Spurgeon one day said, smoke a good cigar for the glory of God. Every tobacco shop put the sign to smoke a good cigar for the glory of God. And Spurgeon got so sick the doctors made him quit smoking. Is that your reality? A good cigar? No. And Spurgeon, he made a mistake. God made him quit. I'm nothing against the guy. I'm sure he's born again. He'd be right there in the streets of the glory. I really would believe that with all my heart. Where's your reality? I am the way, the truth, and the reality. There it is right there. That's real. Nothing else is real. You know why? Because if he took his word back, it's all gone. Because everything is by the spoken word, and everything is maintained by the spoken word, and only the spoken word will be fulfilled. Therefore, if we are not spoken word children, forget it. Our spoken word came to Adam. By the way, do you know when Adam said, he said that we were afraid and we were naked? You know what that word naked actually means in that scripture? I never knew it before. But it means aborted, interrupted, fallen. They knew they blew it. They knew they forfeited dominion. All right, we're supposed to have dominion. How do you get it? By going back to the Word. Believing it. Believing it. Unbelief, my brother, my sister, does not necessarily mean you have committed an action, but unbelief means you will commit an action. And your action will be wrong. Like John the Baptist, the faithful forerunner. William Branham, faithful forerunner. Faithful messenger, that's the whole thing. Are you listening, spiritual mind? What more could I say here? William Branham himself said that about his writing. How different today many so-called evangelists claim they have the answer from God for the people, just as Korah did, denying, disputing the authority of God's vindicated, anointed prophet Moses. Now he's putting himself with Moses, claiming he had the answer. This was a money-making scheme to a golden calf, as many do today. Big buildings, big schools, half-set incubators, the same seed. And then people, then like now, fell for it after they had heard the true word of God through an anointed prophet that was vindicated. And William Branham says, I stand here vindicated as the revealer, the interpreter of this word. And people came along, and he made a golden calf scheme out of it. Hey, they fell for Korah's lie. The God-proven prophet and God knew, puts them together, and knew God had told them, Israel knew God had told them distinctly that he would vindicate his prophets by his word. And don't think that people today don't know, because if the Roman Catholic Church and their blind heathenism, a priest stand up and say, when you see that miracle, shut up and sit down, God's trying to tell you something. Where are the Protestants who claim they've got God? Hogwash, they've got the God of their own imagination and the cesspools of their own filthy reasonings. Isn't it a pity that their reasonings are based upon the word of God? How far can you go with the word of God? Plumb to hell. Plumb to the lake of fire. If it's not divided right. Blind leaders are blind. Falling in a ditch. Yeah. Korah was not a scriptural prophet. Of course not. But it looked awful good to the people, same as it does now. Today. It's blood on your hands, balls of fire on the platform, or on your fingers. And the same thing produces women preachers. Short hair, bald, makeup. What do you have? You would not think people would fall for it, but they did for Korah, and they do the same things now and turn away from the true word for denominations. Shorts. Shows what kind of seeds in them. Now, if you want to take that word nude, there is a place where you can trace it to mean scanty clothing, like your underwear. Naked women in their underwear, parading the streets, and some even without it. In Canada, the beautiful land from whence I came and will not go back. The women decided that men could go to the beaches with their tops exposed, the women could go with their breasts exposed. And I'm sure every man voted for it. And I keep saying, how stupid can women get? In their stupid liberation, they become a prey more and more for the men that they're trying to be equal with, putting themselves more and more into bondage. And the more they scream and the more they do, they show what they are, which is exactly a type of the church today. Yeah. Let's see who's in the ark. You wonder why Brother Branham hated shorts? Men's clothing on women? shows what kind of seeds it's in them. Oh, they wouldn't like that from Brother Branham. Oh, man, why that Brother Branham, I can't use his name badly. Boy, he dared to tell me that my dress had something to do with this. Now, we're at the bottom. But thank God all Israel never fell for Korah. Certainly not. 7,000 didn't bow the knee in the time of Elijah. Some stayed by Moses, the anointed prophet, with the word of God. Same is it today with many of God's elected by his word and his spirit. He's telling you they'll stay with the word. That's you and me by the grace of God. No exceptions. Remember the tares, the weeds are to be gathered and bound in bundles. Is that right? This has come to pass. The apostate organization churches are bound tighter than they ever were bound. Now, Brother Branagh says that's a fait accompli. That's, in other words, a thing done. Why? Because when you go past the point of gravity, you fall flat. Now, they've gone past that point. They've leaned over so far. They've had 1 foot hung over the ditch until a little wind blew them all in. And when you're in the ditch, you're in the ditch. So in other words, they cannot turn back. They must go the way they are going. They are bundled together in the federation of churches, ready for the fires of God's judgment. I never wrote this. I feel he did. Pentecostals are full of so-called, the same as them. The wheat word will be gathered someday after they leave for the master. Okay. What are you going to leave? You're going to leave the denomination of churches and come on out. And the wheat word is going to be gathered in the garden. Now listen, that's nothing but Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Whose fan is in his hand, thoroughly purges forth, gathers wheat in the garner. And what did John say about him? He said, I indeed baptize with water, but there's one coming after me, and you're going to see him pretty soon. I'll be baptizing. The Spirit of God's going to come upon him down there. And that's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And he will, as I baptize him in water, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And he said, the axe is laid to the root of every tree. He said, this one is the one that finishes everything up. And you better believe he does. Certainly he does, because when we come back with him, reigning and ruling on this earth, priests and kings unto God, we go then past that lake of fire and right to the New Jerusalem. And already this earth is predestinated. And it's in the throes right now. When the fire's going to come down, leaving neither root nor branch, that's why we're standing now before the white throne. You tell me who's preaching it. Oh, Bill, you just built yourself a little house. I sure did. Hallelujah. Oh, you separate yourself. Amen. I sure did, by the grace of God. Do what you want. I don't care what anybody does is their business. It's a one-to-one. I've got a job to preach the word. I believe I'm doing it. If I'm wrong, God's going to take care of that. You better believe it. Now, man is in his hand, thoroughly purchased, or gather the wheat in the garner. But the tares, the chaff, and tares are bound and burned. Now remember, it goes from tear to chaff. On what grounds? The life has finally gone out. And the church was so close to the real thing, they couldn't distinguish. But you know, when you get your eyes open, there's a big gulf there. God has promised, be careful. God has promised Malachi 4 for this last day. Malachi 4 has not yet been fulfilled. But it must be fulfilled, for it is a germatized word of God, spoken through Malachi the prophet. Jesus referred to it. It is just before the coming of Jesus Christ the second time. Now, I've been preaching this all the time, all the time, all the time. And who's this Malachi for yet to come? People think, oh, that's Brother Branham coming back from the dead. I'm going to tell you, he can't come back as Malachi from the dead, Malachi 4, unless he was Malachi 4 before he died. I'll prove it. When the witch of Endor was able to call up Samuel, he was still a prophet because he always was a prophet. Sure, William Branagh's coming back as Malachi 4, but don't think for 1 minute that he's identified himself in this time with John the Baptist and with Moses and with Paul of Acts the 3rd chapter, because he identified the healing revival that brings a new message, and he calls this his message, right? I read it. He said, be careful. You don't get ideas now that I'm not that one. Now, if William Branham was not that one, You show me where there was a forerunner of Elijah, a forerunner of Moses. You can't do it. And a forerunner of Paul, you can't do it. There was only one great one, and he didn't know too much. That was John the Baptist, who was only a forerunner because he introduced the actual Messiah there. Now, so William Branham is Malachi 4. All right, when this messenger arrives, of course, he will plant the seed of the entire Bible plumb from the serpent to the messenger in the former rain. Well, is that a fact? How's he going to do that? William Branham said he already did it. So what are you looking at? You are looking at the continuity of history by the third person God. He's really the first person. But see, William Branham is also the first person. So God is writing this about William Branham and putting all the parallels in and all the things. If this isn't true, then I can say one thing. We have failed to get this. We have come very close to receiving something which we did not receive. All right, listen. He'll plant the seed of the entire Bible. In other words, restore the word. Then he will be rejected by denominational people as his forefather, John and Elijah. Forefather. Now he's linked himself up with them, as was spoken by our Lord, Matthew 17. As Elijah was the first time in Ahab's time, it will happen here in this country, as this country is a type of Israel. Now, he went into that. 13 colonies and 13 stars, 13 everything else. Reader, hear Jezebel religion. As this country, our forefathers worshipped the way they wanted to, came to this country, pushed out the natives, took it over. So did Israel take over when they came up out of Egypt. We had godly men like Washington, Lincoln, and they had great godly men as David and so forth. Then they got an Ahab on the throne, a Jezebel behind him to direct him. So we have. Now, what is Jezebel? Scripturally, she is the church. The church becomes its own prophet, and the church is a female, so now is a prophetess. It's not hard to have a female Holy Ghost, your female spirit. No problem at all. Huh? Who fell? Who got food? The female. What part of God fell and got food? See, I don't understand people where they're coming from. Well, Brother Bailey, you're a guide in the world, chauvinistic pig. Oh, chauvinistic lamb. Sorry about that. No one's going to teach me the gospel, but no one's going to sit here in this church and pull the stuff that was pulled in this church. That's why she's gone. You want to try it? Let's have a fight right now. Because you're going to go, not me. I can prove it. I got the crowd on my side. Don't kid me. I know who believes this message. I've been here for nothing. I know who sacrificed and pays the price of everything else. Don't tell me. So I'm getting out of here in the rapture. You might not think so. All right. Ahab on the throne. So it is at this time in this country. Now watch. That person will appear, for it's in the scripture, and it's thus saith the Lord. How's he know? Who gave him the authority? He's a revealer. On what grounds? Vindication. Then in the latter rain there will come forth a Mount Carmel showdown, Bible fulfilled to the letter. John the Baptist, his messenger, before his face in Malachi 3, planted the former rain and was rejected by the churches, the denominations, Pharisees, Sadducees. In his day, Jesus came and had a Mount Transfiguration showdown. The forerunner of the last days will sow for the former rain. The reteaching of the Word of God. Jesus will be the showdown between the denominations and creeds, which is his Word. He's the showdown right now. See? When he comes, the showdown, the rapture of the bride. The first was Mount Carmel, the second Mount Transfiguration, the third will be Mount Zion, glory. He's telling you right now, we are waiting for Mount Zion showdown. Because we've had it. We're into it, rather, to go to that end. Elijah's behavior, Moses' behavior, John's behavior. Now he's linking himself up again, leaving their field of service. Many of the people didn't understand them. It was because they were rejected and their message. The seed had been sown, judgment was next, and they were assigned to the people from God that judgment was at hand, planting was over. Absolutely true. Now you're looking at his entire ministry. Before he leaves the field, he has got to reveal the seven thunders, the seven seals, the whole thing. Or he hasn't planted the seed of the entire Bible. He hasn't done it. He hasn't revealed the mysteries. He's been a failure. So he's talking about what is in there in this hour, in this day. Now he said, I believe someday the real bride of Christ will be forced to stop preaching the Word of God. What Word of God? The restored Word of God. The Bible prophesies it in Revelation 13:16. Denomination will force it to stop or take its mark. Then is when the Lamb will take his bride and judge the whore for this. So, all right, you've got some problems coming ahead of us. They can shut the place down. All they got to do is find some little flimsy excuse and we're gone. Remember Moses, born for the work, had to wait on God for the extra gift for the job. He had to go back and wait. Now he's talking about himself again. He's the sign in the hands, the discernment. They had to be there. And the time appointed by God, a certain Pharaoh had to be on the throne. He's talking now about Jack Kennedy and his wife, the Jezebel Jackie. And he said concerning her and her waterhead, he said if she'd have heard the gospel, maybe it would have done more for her and for the Pentecostals. She might have listened. But it wasn't meant for her. No, she hadn't got time for Jesus except counting her beads and a few things like that or talking to the Pope because she got too many men friends and all. You know, too big a name. When you get too big in the world, you know, forget it. The meek and lowly and humble in heart, those that know that they don't have a clue to these things here, depending upon God, you see, that we're the peons. They're the big shots. That's why hardly a rich man can go to the kingdom of God. Don't look for money. It'll pull you down. Most people can't handle it anyway. It's a horrible thing to have to mess with. Now, there's going to be a certain Pharaoh there, Jack Kennedy, the Roman Catholic Church. Now with thousands of, let me see now, and the people had to be wanting the bread of life before God would send him back. Now with thousands of sign workers in his last day, he has created a generation of sign workers that knows nothing about the true move of God in his word in these last days. Now what we're looking at right here, Brother Branham came on the scene with a tremendous ministry. Everybody tried to mimic him. They tried to ape him. They said, well, this is Bible days. He did it, we can do it. Like Tommy Aldrin, a voice said to him, this is what's the way the Bible does it. You can do it too. He didn't bother to listen. What does this man have to say? As the Catholic Church said, when you see a miracle, shut your mouth and sit down. God wants to tell you something. How many came to William Branham and said, William Branham, you have a ministry exactly like Jesus Christ. Just like Paul. We know you are sent from God. What do you got to tell us? See? What they did, they went out there like Cord, Date, the Byron, made a money scheme, tried to do it, and they couldn't do it. Now, what happened? Brother Branham goes into eclipse. I know for a fact I was with him, and people said, well, oh, I know William Branham. He died, didn't he? I said, no, he didn't die. To the public, he was dead. Now, when he does come back, does he come back with a tremendous ministry? No, he doesn't. Performing only the last sign before the destruction of Sodom, which was that he proved it. Right in Jeffersonville, turned his back on the congregation, and he picked out a man from Virginia named Mr. Mitchell, and he said, you have lung disease from being a miner, and you're healed. And that was the last sign the church is going to see. Well, it's the last sign, it's the last sign. What more do you want? Well, I want two last signs. Huh, well, great. Why don't you ask God for four hands? Well, it'd be kind of awkward. It'd be awkward to God to give you signs when you already done got finished. You know what? Body's complete. Who wants four hands when two hands are not? Unless you want one on the top of your head, you can hang on to the chandeliers. Oh, that's great Pentecostal, isn't it? Top of the hand. Hang on the chandeliers. You pardon my kidding, but I have to be ludicrous to bring the thing across. How could you want what God doesn't want you to have? The worst thing in the world is to see a baby come in the world with an extra hand or a loss of one hand. What makes you shudder? Even five toes make you shudder. And yet people add anything to the Bible. Well, you know, it's fun. It's great. Well, you know, we figure a little better here. So they mess with what the prophets are. Now, with thousands of sign workers in this last day, has created a generation of sign seekers that knows nothing about the true move of God in His Word, the move of God in His Word in these last days. As I have said, give them blood and oil and fleshy demonstrations on the platform. They'll support it, whether it's God's Word or not, whether it's Scripture or not. Jesus has warned us about such things at the end time. As I have said in Matthew 24, two spirits very close alike deceive the very elected apostle. How can you tell them? Give them the word yet. Now, Brother Branham says God wrote this. How can you know it? Speak the word, see what they say about it. All right, what about his presence? Oh, that's just the doctrine like serpentine. Yeah. Brother, sister, you don't know just what that statement really implicates. I hope you do. They really don't give two bits about God all the time talking about Him. They don't have a care about the fact that the pillar of fire, which is merely the signifier of Him, Elohim, who is here, will lead us to the millennium. Oh, just a doctor. Brother, sister, let's understand this flat. He is the doctor. God and His Word are the same thing, Rhema and Logos. There's no difference. If there is, I'm going to tell you something, then God is not God. We made up a God of our imagination and attributed to Him something highly exalting. But it's very funny. If we attributed to Him, how come the majority took it away? I guess we soon had a class hatred case here against this God, didn't we? You know what I'm talking about? How in the world can God be anything but His Word? He can't be. He is the Word. You can't change this. Brother Branham proved it. Here's the man that proved it. Come on, that's vindication. Give him the word test. See, how can you know it? Speak the word. See what they say about it. If they don't believe the word, they have no seed germ in them. They have no seed germ in them. They are not children of God. They are of the evil one and deceive you, if they could. As the first bride was deceived, then the second bride was deceived. They are deceivers of the third bride by hybridizing the word or trying to. In other words, they successfully do it in the majority of cases. But there's a few that don't listen. God never placed signs above His word. Amen. That's a scorcher. God never placed signs ahead of His word. They were added for proof of the word, but the word is first. Now, just a minute. That can be a very distracting statement. See? The point is, signs do follow the word, and if they get those signs following that word, does it mean they're true believers? How can it be when He said, I never knew you? So then what is the true word? It has to be vindicated before it even comes. Yeah. That's the sign of the prophet to whom the word is given. To prove it, Elijah said to him, bake me a cake first, then watch the miracle happen. Come to the word first and then watch the miracle. The seed word itself is what the Holy Spirit energizes. Now, a messenger sent from God just... Now, can a messenger sent from God just believe some of the scriptures and not all of the word, deny a part of it? Now, Brother Branham begins to link up what he's telling us with himself. Now, you can read this any way you want to read it, as far as I'm concerned. But my reading is here, that God never placed signs ahead of His word, that the signs will follow the word is for you and for me. See? But when it comes to the prophet, you have to understand there has to be that sign there. And that sign was, the cake must come into existence because the prophet spoke it. Now, she felt that this man had something. And when she listened to him like the Virgin Mary, you notice it absolutely took place because it was the living word of the living God. But the living word of the living God cannot come except by vindication. It does not come and is then vindicated. That is not so. Only the event Only the event that transpires proved that the man has the right to talk. It's exactly right. It's just like the Olympics. How are you going to get to the Olympics and compete with people that can lift 750 pounds when you've already proven you can't lift 500? You're out of the Olympics. How can any man prove that he is that prophet until, first of all, he comes in the name of the Lord and the thing he says come to pass, that's the man you listen to? And remember, there's a prophet that even exceeds that on the grounds of what God himself said. He said, listen, he said, a prophet, I'll come in dreams and in visions. But Moses, my servant, is not so. I've got prophets way above them. They speak to me and see me. In the apparel I have clothed myself. Even apparently. Eye to eye, lip to lip. Ear to ear is the word. Or lip to ear, as they say. So there's a difference here. We must not get carried away because this sounds like an absolute contradiction to what Brother Branham is saying. He came on the scene with the vindicated word, and they come right behind the word and have miracles and signs. Then, according to this statement, unless understood in the context, these men are just as vindicated as William Branham. Then how come Matthew 7, depart from me, I never knew you? How come he takes that to Matthew 24 himself? No, sir, you got to read it with the scripture. And God never did place signs ahead of his word. No, he placed vindication of the coming word ahead. Signs that follow the word are merely in the word that is there. Anybody can use it. Now, the true prophet of God will proclaim the word in the last days. There it is, his message I spoke of. Denominations will hate him. He will not pull any punches on them. He will be like he was when he came at the first coming of Christ. He's talking absolutely about William Branham and John the Baptist. Now watch the terminology. You generation of vipers. See, serpents. Serpent seed people. But the predestinated will hear and make ready for the countdown. Remember, John's disciples, most of them went to Christ. The royal seed of Abraham's faith, like him, holding the word of God regardless, for he was predestinated. The messenger of Malachi 4 will appear at God's appointed time. We are looking for him. We believe he will come. This is according to the word. It will be at the end time, which it is now time. Notice, which it is now time to see it. I want to tell you, the battleship is coming. There's no two ways about it. He's cresting the waves, and he's coming in, and he's due here at 10:15. Hold it. It's 10:20. There he is. You follow what I said? That's exactly what you listened to. The same prophet said as always, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. He's here, he's here, he's here. He's gone, he's gone, he's gone. So he said, he's coming, he's coming. Oh, he's here. Now, this kind of talk is not coming from William Branham. It's coming strictly from God because he said God gave it to him. So you're looking at God as the historian and linking the whole thing together. And this is his prophet at the end time. You say, well, this is Brother Branham throwing the curve. I don't see any curve at all myself. You just read it. We believe he will come. Because that's according to his word. And it's going to be the end time when he does come, which is the time now for to see it. Well, are we seeing it? What more do you want? He will be correctly dedicated to the word as they have always been, prophets. Indicated by God's word. Prophets indicated. The sign of the prophet. And have vindicated. See? In other words, many times over vindicated. God will vindicate what he preaches to be the truth as he did Elijah. Now, before Elijah ever rolled those stones together, how many miracles were there? Several. Even to the place of destruction. The captains of 50, two in a row died. 100 people. The third guy smartened up. They say the third time a charm. He smartened up. He said, great prophet of God. There was 100 people killed here. I know you're that prophet. I know you can kill me. Fire can come down. But he said, please don't do it. The king wants to see you. And the man, no doubt, communicated to Elijah in the spirit, listen, if you can call down fire and destroy 100 people, don't be afraid to come because you can call down fire again and get rid of Ahab just like that. Now, come on, be a good boy, come with me. He said, okay, I'll come. Yeah. See, proven that he was the one to bring Israel back to true worship, to the true God. And remember, after that fire came down, they killed 400 prophets of Baal and almost rid the land. Of course, this is not millennium now we're talking about. Okay, he'll be correctly dedicated to the word, as have always, they have always been, indicated by God's words right in there, and vindicated. God will vindicate what he preaches to be the truth as he did Elijah. For it is Elijah coming, making ready for the Mount Zion rapture. Now he tells you right here three things in a row, and it's all part of his ministry. Jesus said in the last days it'd be like Lot's time. His preaching will be with the Spirit and straight in the straight line of God's word. Because so much has been called God's truth, many will misunderstand this true messenger. That's right. I've got written here prophecy, P-R-O-P-H-E-C-Y, prophecy. In other words, he's saying right now people will misunderstand, many fine people. We're going to miss the foolish virgin, you see, so we'll miss it. Because so much of what has been called God's truth by fakers, many true ministries will misunderstand that messenger. The foolish virgin won't get it. At the end, but the true virgin will, there's no two ways about it. The sheep hear the voice. At the end, as the end time prophecies will repeat, I believe, as the first forerunner came from the wilderness and cried, "Behold the Lamb of God," the second forerunner will probably do the same by pointing the bride to a word, pointing the people to a word-born bride. Now remember, he's making a parallel. It doesn't say it's the same thing. Now, the bride of Christ will be pointed to the skies at the appearing of Jesus, screaming, "Behold the Lamb of God," will come forth from his lips. God helps you ready for this near event. Now, I know people say, "Well, Brother Branham went away. This wasn't all fulfilled," and so on. Let me tell you something. When he gets back, every last bit of it will have been fulfilled. Because there's no doubt he'll be the first one up. Because he's a seven church age messenger. The others come up with him. That's when the rest here get immortality. And they'll be consorting together. When 8654321 comes up, we'll all meet. They'll all be in one place. Now, they won't come out of the ground all in one place, but they'll all come out and be in one place and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And he said the scream would come forth. Has that scream come forth? Through pointing the people to a word-born bride? Pointing to a bride that can only be word-born? Pointing that that's the only one that's a true bride? Sure. And when that happens, there's no doubt that we are looking at the little rapture just behind the veil, but it's coming very, very soon. Now he said, "Do you believe?" Now this is not the writing. Why has this been? Have you a better understanding now? In the words, in the word, friends, another better understanding in the word. And he said, "It's the word, friends." In other words, what I'm saying is come from the Bible. This has been about 6 hours, five and a half, 6 hours. There's much more to be said, but surely the Holy Spirit this time has sunk it in you deep. And you know what I'm talking about. We are at the end time. The seeds are sowed now, and the latter rain is fixing to come forth. Now, what does it mean the seed is sown, even though he was still going to preach on the seven seals? Well, the seed has been sown. And what? Because he showed you there's three ministries, seed sowers, Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, William Branham, everything in threes. And he's already started by vindication. So you see what has started, he going back to the original seed, goes right on. These are hybrids, on, right on. So, the latter rain is fixing to come forth. That is the actual word of God to be in full demonstration and power. And that's in Joel where you see the bride getting out of here. Remember, there will be such a denomination gathering pretty soon, it'll be terrific. And they will bring themselves together in this federation of churches, and then this kind of a church will put out the operation as far as they know. In other words, we could still operate, but not known to them. It's at that time that Jesus will appear, and he will show which is bride or not. Now, that's your Mount Zion showdown, which is the rapture, and those that are ordained to it are going to be out of here, and the rest are going to stay. And remember, Christian friends, I'm a man. I can make mistakes, but God being God cannot make a mistake. And I puts this all back on God. All the words that's been written must be fulfilled. Jesus said so. So we've got things here in Scripture that must be fulfilled. And this is one of the things, this boycott to come. But before this boycott can come, the marking of the beast, there has to be a seed sown for God to take a church out of it. You understand now, a seed has to be sown. A denominational seed in there to make a form or image to the beast. The church of Rome, and there has to be a true bride. And we understand that the so-called bride is rejected. Adam's bride rejected to bring light. She brought death. We're her product. That's our bodies. We all die. Look at us, and you can see Jehovah's bride died. He divorced her and took a people out of the Gentiles for his name. Is that right? His name, like a woman, takes a man's name, the bride. Now what's she done? The same thing they did the other time, denominated herself, polluted. In every generation, every revival brings forth some prophet of God. A prophet's a preacher, a true preacher, and so on. In other words, he puts it down to just the ministering the word. And they bring forth a revival that gathers elect out of every generation. That's taken place over six generations of six ages from the time of Paul. But at the end time, the word is restored. Remember that. Then she goes to seed. Then God will never use it again. I ask any theologian historian to tell me one time that a denomination ever rose up, and she never did. She died, and when she denominated, that's where she lay. All right, now look at he's going to bring a bride from the Gentiles for his name. Watch it in Matthew the 12th chapter. We read it many, many times. And speaking of the Gentiles. Might be fulfilled, spoken by Isaiah. Behold my prophet, verse 18, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, whom my soul is well pleased. I put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Now notice in verse 21, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. There you see the Gentile bride. The Gentile bride comes after the ministry of the Son of Man. So therefore, what is the ministry of the Son of Man doing? It's absolutely vindicating the presence of Jesus Christ, the true authority of the truly revealed word. What's that going to do? It's going to bring a bride out. There's the name right there. She's married. She's got her husband's name. See, you're trusting in that name. That's your husband. See? Billy Graham may preach everywhere. Oral Roberts, those godly men may preach everywhere. The Lord may send me to sow seed somewhere else in some other field. But I believe our nation is sown down. And I believe she's ready for the harvest now. Now, how could he say that? If he wasn't the one. When the Spirit falls and there becomes a move against the people, then those denominations will swing together just as certain as I'm standing in the pulpit. And as the Church of God will be ousted, and they'll make it such a racket until they confederate it and put a boycott on anybody that doesn't belong to them. Rome will rule the world for just an hour. She'll rule for a little peace. Not communism, Romanism will rule the world with the cooperation of Protestantism. And the denominational form of church, which God has rejected. That's as close as I know the word of God. Now, brothers, that's the end of the message. Now, look. When you see the present condition in Europe today, you will notice that the Muslims are being killed on every hand. America makes little clicking sounds. It knows it can't fulfill. The United Nations are trying to pull things off. But right now, it's a holy war going on in various places of the world. And I can assure you flat right now, that the image that has been built by America, which is the only world-leading power at this moment, it doesn't mean she'll continue to rule. Because remember, at the end time, democracy and totalitarianism are side by side making the toes and feet of clay. And they are here until the literal coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with his bride, when he smashes everything to pieces and remolds the place for the bride and the groom to settle down in the millennium. Now, you know that is, thus saith the Lord, that is the word of Almighty God. Now, you and I know it is the Roman Empire because there's only four. And Roman Empire went to the Holy Roman Empire when Caesar took upon himself the title, the Babylonian title of Pontiff, making him the supreme ruler of the universe. That's what the Caesars and all were about. Now, when another Caesar, I forget which one, turned it down, the Pope of Rome took it. So now he is the head of the Babylonian world system. And you better believe that Christianity, so-called, can rule the world. Now, I am not a racist concerning color. But let's understand this. You are dealing with the peoples in the old Roman Empire, which now with the Berlin Wall knocked down, you're right back to where you originally were, and they are white. They say Lee Bell's a white supremacist. I am not. I'm simply telling you. So what I'm telling you is they don't have a snowball's chance in the hottest place you've ever heard of. Why? Because it's thus saith the Lord what Rome's going to do. And Christianity so-called. Now they'll do it for roughly 3.5 years and there'll be a rebellion. That's when the totalitarian states, of which even at this minute, Ukraine, is saying we are not going to give up all our missiles, the ballistic warheads, the atomic bomb. And Brother Branham said there is an atomic bomb for Rome and for America, and you better believe they're going to get it. Because that's thus saith the Lord. Now, so where are the Muslims? Forget it. Forget Iraq. The only reason we have any use for the Arabians, the Muslims, is they got the oil. And Brother Branham said, America to turn on the Jews. So just believe what the prophet said, that's all. We don't have to get any far-flung ideas and different ideas. It's coming. And what I'm trying to show you is on every single hand, you can see every type in the world, and in politics, you can see this is the end. You can see the second death that took place in Egypt. The second death in the world is AIDS. 12 million cases at least. You better believe there's at least 24 million. I'll eat my shirt. 8 million are in Africa alone. The rest of the 4 million are scattered around the world. Now, since the disease lurks in the lymph, how many people are there checking the lymph up for where it is? According to statistics I read a long time ago by Dr. Douglas, who's down there by the Atlanta, the American Disease Control Center, and I gave it to you, the fact is, very shortly, there'll be hardly anybody, if anybody left in America, that doesn't have AIDS, and we're all going down our own slime and ooze because AIDS is a disease whereby you rot while you're still standing on your feet. So hop to have your sex. I should be flat with every kid and everybody in this building. Follow Clinton. Think there's a way to prevent the disease because there's a safe sex. I got news for you. There isn't any safe sex anymore because even the safe sex heterosexuals are getting it. And the poor hemophiliacs. Now what am I talking about? The second death. We saw the film, we can see it again, by Dr. Merkel. And there you can see the precursors of the T-cells. And you can see the T-cells going right there. And they're gobbling up those viruses. But what if, and it will happen, because that signifies life. He said those chondria don't die. He said you can see them in the colloidal state. After 3 days they can rise again. He's come to the source of life and understands it from a scientific viewpoint. But he's got to admit there's a God. That's one reason I like the guy. He calls it the breath of Almighty God that did it, but he doesn't understand the rest of it. Maybe some type of evolution or some type of growth by God, I don't know. But the thing is this, if you are looking at life and you're looking at that which can resurrect, then you've got to be looking at death. And death means finish. It's all over. Now, let's just say these chondriana which he's injecting in people's veins, and they're very wonderful. Now, I'm not against it. I'm all for it. But it's going to backfire just as sure as I stand here. I believe that. Look, hey, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a prophet. I'm nothing. But from what I see, what Brother Branham taught and see in this word, I believe with all my heart, we are seeing the two symbols right here under our nose, under a microscope. Life and death. Now let me tell you, death will take the bodies. They're starting to do it right now. Because illicit intercourse is absolutely a type of idolatry. One husband, one wife, never, never marries virgins. Eve blew it. She came under idolatry. The minute she got into unbelief, she proved her idolatry. And you're seeing it right today on every single hand because there's no nation that is not taking up in adultery as never before. Men and women that are married, rising from 60%, 80%, will soon be 100%. Why? Because the bride will be gone. Oh, maybe a few foolish virgins will be there, half of 1% or 1/10 of 1%. If Brother Branham said not even 1/1000 of 1% are true bride, I can tell you not even 1/1000 of 1% would be remaining here that's a virgin. Anybody's left at all. I just can't believe it. I'm talking physically now. No true virgin of the word is going to be left here. So I'm looking at this picture today, that whether people want to believe it or not, it is here and photographed. It's over. It's over. All it takes is one little Congregana to not do its full job, maybe just a little weak, and that virus in there now has a bulwark against it. No further Congregana, T-cell is going to touch it. It'll come right in and take everything out that is there. And I'm going to tell you, just as that man said, you could see on the film those lights begin to dissipate and go to a colloidal state. You are seeing that happening right today. In other words, all of God's people are going straight back to Almighty God. The rest are here for cannon fodder. I could explain it many ways, but I see it's all over, brother, sister. One time you're going to go to bed, you wake up changed. One time to get up in the morning, or get up in the morning, nothing, just no different. By the time you're ready to hit the bed, hey, I don't need to sleep anymore. See? Everything is an end as far as I know and can see. And I believe that's what Brother Branham said. And this, the beautiful thing is this, spoken words, original sin, that which God said. As sure as you and I are standing here, a vindication, if anything means anything, brother, sister, we are now on the verge of the complete restoration of God's word at the time of Eden, the tree of life, further sanctification, 1,000 years, and those tremendous things that were not revealed in that first chapter of Genesis were taken up over in the various prophets and showed we're aiming for the holy city, the Zion of Almighty God, which we know Zion is the beautiful bride of Jehovah, all together there in one place. All right, that's what we see in this hour. And there again I said, Brother Brand, if we're not bride, you better believe there's a bride out there somewhere. By the grace of God, we won't stand in the way. We may not be the bride. We know we're not bridegroom. I can tell you one thing. The friend of the bridegroom can stand by rejoicing. Yeah. At least we can go that far. Let's rise and be dismissed. Next Wednesday, 7:30. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the time that you've allowed us to come together. To get to know, even as Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. And there is a people here, Lord, that we know have listened to your prophet, your messenger, your angel, as it were, messenger in a human form, who is also accosted by not only an angel, but you yourself. And we can say, Lord, be it unto us according to thy word, as a matter of grace, O God. What we long for is the very security and freedom and this ability, Lord, to get out of here and be with you. And as we hear the word of the prophet and have identified with it that live, die, sink, or swim, we know this is it. Father, may it be now, not live, die, sink, or swim, but may it be live and swim as a part of this word to live with you eternally. And be carried across the water, as Ezekiel saw it flow out of the eastern gate, waters to the ankles, waters to the thighs, water coming up to swim in, water to take us over. We know, Lord, that water to take us over is here. Father, we can't claim, Lord, by any vindication, but we claim, Lord, simply on the basis that we believe this, that we've been washed in the waters of separation. Our robes have been washed. And standing before the tree of life, take our place, Lord, at this very minute. That either we are righteous and righteous still, or we have to admit
we are filthy and filthy still. We cannot be righteous filthy and filthy righteous. Lord, we take our stand by faith this morning, believing that we are, as Brother Branham said, who went so far, Lord, by your grace and your words in his mouth to say you're the righteous, sinless, perfect little bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't even do it, showing forth a complete justification. We never were caught in the idolatry and adulteries of the world and those things, Lord, which are so terrible in thy presence. And you cannot stand them. They cannot come near. So, Lord, we would dedicate ourselves again to the word this morning, that which is vindicated, hoping and trusting with all of our hearts that we're seeing it, believing it, and it becoming us and we becoming it, to get out of here. Even though there be few, we stand in the glory of it, in the great absolution, righteousness of our God. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ. Especially in this hour of vindication, we give thee glory. Amen. Take the name.